is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Corey Harris from the Beijing Royal Fighters CBA team, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast. Let's get into it.
Hey, Hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off. Hello and welcome to the HOOPHEADS podcast. It's Mike Klensing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Game 6, NBA Finals, Lakers Championship, Miami, no show.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the Browns being 4-1 tonight, Mike.
No, I refuse to talk about that team. They are the weakest 4-1 team in the history of the NFL.
Oh, come on. Wait a second. Wait, come on. All right, well, that's a tangent for a different night.
You think they're good?
I think offensively they're good. I don't think defensively they're good.
Dude, how many passes did Baker Mayfield throw over guys' heads?
Two.
Okay. We'll see.
I mean, their schedule's weak the rest of the way, Mike. They've got five bum teams they still have to play.
They're the good bad team or the bad good team.
They're going to be that seventh spot in the playoffs, Mike. They're getting to the playoffs this year. I'm putting my marking on it right now.
All right, no one tuned in to hear you talk about the Browns.
Okay, let's talk about the Lakers. The Lakers are the champions. GR was without a shirt again.
Immediately, by the way.
He didn't even wait. The whistle blew, and the shirt was off.
Was it off before the buzzer? I didn't notice.
I only saw...
We're going to have to get a replay of that.
Yeah, we're going to have to look and see. All I know is he was trending... Shirtless JR was trending on Twitter again. So he... You know, and he was, by the way, did you notice he was the first person? Did you see the presentation or no?
Yes, to touch the trophy and take it out of
their
suitcase.
He was the first one to take the trophy.
Yes. Yeah, he was kind of creeping around the edge of the table, and then he went for it. He just decided,
Listen, guys, I got paid minimum wage, basically, for the NBA.
He was right there with his face to cheek to cheek with LeBron during the on-court celebration. He was right after at the buzzer. He was right there, man.
He was cheek to cheek and chest to LeBron because he didn't have a shirt on.
props to JR.
Listen, here's the thing. And you saw who was right behind the whole time during the whole presentation where they were talking. The person that was talking to everybody's ear was Dion. Listen,
Dion was right in the front.
He was right in the front.
Dion and Palenka.
Yeah. Listen, Dion didn't get a. I don't think he played a minute in the finals, right? So he had to get some court awareness. They had everyone need to know where he was. He was there.
And Giannis's brother, rocking the Greek flag.
Oh yeah, that's the greatest. His brother got a championship before Giannis.
Yeah, Meredith is like, do you think he'll be, you know, go back home and at dinner he'll be showing him his ring? I was like, yeah, I bet he will be. I kind of think he will be.
Yeah, for sure.
The star of the ceremony, though, or the funniest moment of the ceremony, I don't know if you caught it, was when Vogel got done talking and Palenka put up his hand to get a high five.
Oh, it got
and Vogel and Vogel. Yeah, Vogel just turned the other way and totally left Pelinka hanging. It was hilarious.
I missed that. I wasn't paying attention. I was more listening to it than watching it.
Gotcha.
But here's the thing, and this was a bizarre game, like closing game. I texted you at the end of the third quarter or in the middle of the third quarter when the Lakers were up 36. I can't remember a time in the NBA Finals that we had a garbage time, and maybe you have a better recollection of a garbage time in the closing game of a series. Like
that was a garbage 2.5 quarters.
Oh, for sure. Can you think of an NBA Finals that has ever ended like that?
Not in a clinching game, no, where there's no drama at all in the fourth quarter. I mean, there was nothing, especially with a series that's been, I mean, other than game one in this game, the three middle games were all super competitive.
Hey, there was one piece of drama, Mike. I read online that three-pointer that was hit with 27 seconds left or whatever pushed it to the over. So
we had another gambling angle.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just so disappointing. Like, you watch Miami in that first half, and they were just – I mean, they were unbelievably atrocious. Unbelievably atrocious. Like, I'm looking at the box score, and I'm looking at Bam's box score, and you just look at what he did numbers-wise, and he's 10 of 15 from the field. I know he was 5 of 9 from the line where he was shooting, like, 90% coming into this game. But he had 10 rebounds, 5 assists, only 2 turnovers. And yet I felt like in that first quarter and a half, he must have dropped, like, 7 passes that hit him in the hands, which he never does. He's got great
hands.
He was
watching Jarvis play today.
He was terrible. Hero was just god-awful. I mean, he had no idea what he's doing.
And listen,
I thought he was Darius Garland for a second, the number of runners he was taking.
You can't be mad at Butler tonight because he was due to be exhausted. I mean, I think
what I take away from the Jimmy Butler performance is it's to me that's just another point in terms of the greatness of LeBron. That, I mean, he's just like a metronome. It's just every game, you know, he's coming back. I mean, tonight, there's no real way to describe how good he was, again, in the key moments. I know he picked up some garbage buckets in the second half when the game's over, and I'm not sure why he was still in with 3 minutes to go. But
he's padding those stats, man.
I understand. But 28, 14, and 10 came out, set the tone, just bulldozed Miami to the rim. And you know, he's played, I mean, I guess he didn't play as many minutes as Jimmy Butler, but he's certainly carrying just as heavy of a load as Butler's been carrying in this series and throughout the entire playoffs. And yet, tonight he goes 41 minutes and just, I mean, he just dominated. I mean, there's no other way to say it. In the moments that mattered in the first quarter and a half when it was still a game, LeBron was by far the best player on the court. I mean, he looks like almost a guy who's playing a different game. It almost looks like a pro player playing against college guys tonight, especially because the Heat were just, their feet were stuck in cement. They couldn't get back on defense. They couldn't guard anybody. They couldn't catch the ball. They couldn't make easy shots. And as you said, it's kind of a weird and deceptive game in that if you look at the final statistics, it's like, it's not really, and I know the final margin ended up being 13, so they closed it down, but like, you know, the Lakers shoot 48%. The Heat shoot 44%. The Lakers shoot 31% from three and made 11. The Heat shot 35% and made 10. I mean, the Lakers made 9 free throws, shot 64%. The Heat made 13 free throws, shot 59%. The Heat only had 13 turnovers, even though I think probably all 13 of those must have come in the first quarter and a half. And the Lakers had 12. You just look down the board and you're like, if you just look at the statistics, you would have no idea of what this game really was. And like I said, it was over in a quarter and a half.
You know, I thought it was, you know, the Van Gundy point about Goran coming back tonight and like it's not fair to the team because he's not 100%. I don't think that, you know, he negatively impacted the game. But do you think that they thought he was going to come out and do something amazing so the team kind of came in? Or do you just think it was just that kind of game and LeBron and just wasn't going to let them lose that game tonight?
I think
tonight
it was just that kind of game. I mean, they just didn't have it. I mean, in the first quarter and a half, there was nobody who had it. I thought Crowder looked decent. I thought their other four guys all looked terrible. I mean, I thought they looked just gassed. They couldn't get to loose balls. They weren't getting rebounds. They were making passes that were hitting each other in the hands. They were taking bad shots. They couldn't stay in front of Rondo. They couldn't stay in front of LeBron. And I just thought they looked tired. They didn't get loose balls that they normally get. They got outworked on the glass. And Miami's kind of been a team in the bubble that that's been the opposite of who they are. They've gotten those 50-50 balls. They've gotten tough rebounds. They've made other teams work. And they just didn't make L.A. work. I mean, Rondo was getting the rim at will. LeBron clearly is tough to stop. But they didn't make him work, I don't think, tonight the way they had. And they just – offensively, they were sloppy. They didn't get back on defense. I just thought it was a case where – not that they were waiting for Dragic to come in and do something great, but I think it was just – they just didn't have it, whether because they were tired or whether because L.A. came out with – whatever burst of energy that they had that Miami didn't, and Miami just couldn't match them. And then by the time they figured out, hey, we're losing this game, we're down by 30, it was over and there was nothing they could do. And then what I was surprised was why is Dragic playing in the second half? Like, why are you putting him back out there? I mean, you're down 30. There's no way in your heart of hearts that you can think that you're going to come back and win that game. And I guess maybe if his plantar fascia is already torn, that I guess it doesn't matter if he plays on it, but it just seemed like,
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, I get playing him in the first half. I mean, if he's functional and they think they can go, he can go and they can give him something, then sure, why not play him? But I mean, in all honesty, I forget what point he checked in, but by the time he checked in, they were already down 8-10 points. So I don't know. It to me, like I said, I didn't see anybody for the Heat that I thought played well, except for maybe Crowder in that first quarter. I thought he was at least competing, and he looked like himself. Not one of those other guys looked like themselves. I mean, Hero, like I said, shot so many runners and turned it over. Duncan Robinson looked okay, but you know, he didn't do anything great. Butler was clearly tired and didn't do a whole lot. And Bam, I thought, was terrible in the first quarter and a half, despite ended up with what a stat line you'd been like, man, this guy came to play. And, you know, he came to play when the game was over.
Yeah, I think, you know, I want to toot my own horn here saying that I picked the Lakers in six.
I swear.
Well, I mean, I thought it was after those first two games, I thought it was going to be a sweep there after a while. But, you know, I give the Heat credit because they just ran out of gas. They ran out of gas. And they ran into the buzzsaw that was LeBron James. And I thought I had, Mike, is lost in this whole shuffle is I really think, and you talked about him a little bit, I think, you know, 5 years down the line, is anyone going to remember that Rondo was on this team?
I mean, maybe, but I think clearly he was the third most important guy throughout this entire
100%.
Playoffs.
100%. That's the reason I asked that question, because obviously everyone's going to remember LeBron won a championship, got the finals MVP, led the team. AD, just as almost as important as LeBron, but LeBron brings the leadership, you know, and I really think Rondo, it's weird for me to say this. I've never been like a huge Rondo fan, but like I've appreciated his game, but I truly believe he's going to be forgotten 5 years from now, that he was I'm not saying he's the reason they won, but he was going to be a key reason for them winning this, because like you just saw tonight, he came out and was playing like vintage Rondo, 2008 Rondo, right? Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I agree. Getting to the basket and
defense,
orchestrating defense, played much better defense than certainly he has in his recent past.
The first quarter when the game was still close, when Rondo got to the basket, had that flip up. I think it was right when he scored his, you know, I think it was his sixth point. And then he immediately caused that turnover on the inbounds. You know which one I'm talking about? He forced the guy, he deflected the ball and then deflected off of, was it Nunn at the point? I think it was Nunn. And then they got the ball back and then they expanded their lead again. And I think my other favorite part was in the post game, and I didn't see this live, sadly. I saw it was Paul Pierce. It looked like it was paining him to talk about LeBron winning another championship. And basically now, you know, LeBron's taken two of those players that he played with to an extra championship. He took Ray Allen, although some might say Ray Allen took him on that one, the 1 year.
Yeah.
And then Rondo got another championship. So, But Paul Pierce said tonight that he is now officially, in his eyes, the second greatest player of all time. Paul Pierce, when Paul Pierce says it, let it be known. He spoke it into existence, because you know how much that pained him to say he's probably going to have to go home and drink a whole bottle of wine after saying that. So
yeah, Pierce probably did not enjoy that. I think that you can probably safely cement LeBron into the number two spot at this point. Like I said, he really looked like, in this game in particular, and I think honestly throughout this whole entire playoffs, like he's been great, and he was great tonight. And just look, tonight especially, he looked like he was playing a different game than those other guys, than Miami. I mean, he looked like a man among boys. Not that he doesn't all the time, but he was as good tonight as, you know, he was as good as he's ever been. And you can tell still, I mean, he's not quite as explosive. He picks his spots, but he's so strong. He's so smart. He's such a good passer. He just gets guys into the right spots. And, man, he was, I mean, deserving. Clearly deserving the MVP going into this. We thought that it was going to take a miraculous Anthony Davis performance through the series in order to wrest that away from LeBron. And as, you know, we got into this, it became clear, if it wasn't already, that LeBron was the MVP, very deserving. We're not going to get into the greatest of all time debate. And maybe when we come back and do our regular episode on Tuesday, we can talk more about kind of what this means for his legacy and where the Lakers go from here and all those kinds of things. But, you know, for tonight, let's just celebrate the greatness that was LeBron and congratulate the Lakers. And I just think that it'll be interesting to watch moving forward what they do in terms of team building. And I know we touched on it a little bit, you know, how many titles can he win and how long can he stay at this level? I mean, I think that he proved tonight that he's still the best player in the league. And, you know, even if he slips a little bit, 5%, 10% every year for the next 3 or 4 years, he's still going to be a top 10 guy. And with as smart as he is and the things that he can do, and with Davis now having earned the confidence of winning a title, and he's clearly right in the prime of his career, and he's as talented as anybody in the game, I think, you know, you're going to get a situation where they're going to have opportunities to win more titles. And, you know, I don't know what the rest of the league does with that.
All right. It's time for your favorite segment.
All right. Magic's tweeting.
Magic's tweeting. So okay. I'm going to read a statement. I'm going to leave a name out of the statement, and I want you to guess okay. who he's talking about. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Blank really made me feel good tonight, reaching out after the Lakers won the NBA championship. It means the world to me because I know he's in the middle of celebrating with all the players, coaches, and Jeannie Buss, and he didn't have to do that. Exclamation point.
Rob Pelinka.
Rob Pelinka is the correct answer.
All right.
Especially after what Magic said about Rob Pelinka. I'm impressed. Right.
Exactly. Good job, Rob Pelinka.
That says a lot about Rob Pelinka.
You got to pull Magic back in. I mean, I think it's, you know, Magic, you can argue what you want, and maybe because of recency bias, a lot of people might say Kobe, but to me, when I think Lakers, the first guy I think of is Magic, even though I know Kobe played 18 years there, but Magic played his entire career with the Lakers and won 5 titles. And I just think that my first thought when I think Lakers, I think Magic. And again, I know there's been some weird stuff with Magic and just when he was coaching and then when he came back in the front office and just the bizarre press conference and sort of the divide that's been put in between him and Pelinka and whatever, but good to see. I mean, Magic should be a part of it. He should always be a key part of the Lakers franchise.
Who do you think Magic says was the hero tonight in the game?
Who does Magic say was the hero tonight in the game? Well, is Magic? Ooh, man, I gotta think. Magic has to say that it was. Well, I would say he either says it's Rondo or KCP.
No. The hero of tonight was Alex Caruso, starting tonight in his first NBA Finals game. Caruso's defense and energy helped lead us to victory.
Hey, he had the best plus minus on the squad, plus 20 in his 33 minutes. Caruso played well. Look, I think we've said it all along. I think the problem with this supporting cast is that night to night, you don't know what you're going to get. And tonight, you got some good performances. I thought Caruso was good defensively. I don't know that he did a ton offensively, but he was good defensively. Caldwell Pope, 6 of 13, scored 17 points. Hit that when they when the Lakers were going on their run midway through the second quarter, and he hit, I don't know, what did he hit, two threes maybe in that stretch or three? And that was just a huge, huge stretch. And you could just tell that he wanted the ball and he was going to knock them in. So Caldwell Pope was good. Obviously, Rondo, we already talked about. The one guy who still didn't really come through with anything was the Kuz, man.
Oh, he was terrible again.
So do you think, I mean, does Kuzma, does he have any value? Like, can the Lakers trade him and get something that could help them next year? Could they get some veteran guy that's going to be?
I don't know. I think we're trading into what we're going to talk about on Tuesday, Mike.
All right,
Mike,
that's good. All right, let's leave that there. But anyway, Kuzma I thought was terrible in this series.
Yeah, he was pretty
bad.
Really
give him any, he didn't really give him anything. So.
Yeah. So I don't have anything else. I just think, you know, I think the Heat, this is a good experience for them. I think that they will be, as long as they stay healthy and everyone plays, I think they can be back here in the next year or two. I really think that because we know that Giannis isn't going to play big in the good moment. So sorry, I had to get a shot at him, Mike. I apologize.
Well, he's only got, you know,
he's got one championship to chase his brother now. So he's got more motivation.
Exactly. He's got one leg. He's not the family. He's not tied for the family lead anymore. Well, Miami's future, we'll talk about that more on Tuesday, but you just look at what they have and clearly they could lose Dragic potentially, but you're talking about Hero, Robinson, Butler, Adebayo as a pretty nice group to build around. And then you do some things on the fringes. And I think Miami's going to have some cap space to try to attract Giannis in his free agency next summer, fall, whatever, at the end of next season, whatever that may be, free agency 2021, 22. I don't even know how we're going to be able to classify it. But anyway, after next season, when Giannis becomes a free agent, Miami is certainly going to be putting their chips on the table to see if they can pry him loose from Milwaukee. And who knows? I still think, you know, you look at next season, and I have no idea after free agency shakes out who is going to be the favorite in the East, because I think there could be a number of teams that, depending on what goes on and who signs where, that I don't think you're looking at Miami and say, oh, that team clearly is going to be picked to be first place. Like I said last time, I think Milwaukee is still going to be a regular season juggernaut. I mean, I still think they're going to be really, really good in the regular season. And who knows if they have a Chris Paul trade in them or something that, you know, gives them that guy that maybe fills in some of the holes that Giannis has. So who knows? Miami's got a bright future. I think the Lakers have a bright future. And both of these teams are clearly a long way from being done or dropping away as contenders. And like we said all along, I think the big takeaway from tonight is kudos to LeBron. He was absolutely incredible throughout these playoffs. He was absolutely incredible in the finals. And when the other team around him got tired tonight and his opponent couldn't answer the bell, he more than answered it and was very deserving of the finals MVP. And 17 titles for the Lakers, or as Bill Simmons would say, 12, because don't count the Minneapolis titles. But congrats to the Lakers. They were deserving. They were the better team over the course of six
games. And why
does
Bill Simmons say that?
Why does he say that?
Yeah. Because he wants to have the most for Boston,
right? I understand. It's a biased point of view, but whatever. It's all good. Anyway, so congratulations to the Lakers. I think we'll leave some of the speculation for what's going to happen next for our regular episode on Tuesday, where we'll kind of go back and do a retrospective on the entire bubble and some of the things we saw. Do a quick look ahead to free agency, what we might think happened there, and then kind of just put a cap on this season and look ahead to what's going to happen next in the league. And then we'll start thinking draft and free agency. And
oh my God, this episode on Tuesday is going to be 2 hours long, Mike.
Well, we'll see. But I can't believe that. We got to 100%, right? 100% success.
That was going to be my last question, Mike. I was going to say, Mike, what's the percentage that we're going to go through this without having a tainted championship?
Is it a legitimate championship?
Yeah, I saw a good tweet today. Did you see
Who was it? It was Kevin O'Connor's tweet.
Did not.
Kevin O'Connor's tweet. Hold on. I've got a good one. It was a really, really good one. So I want to make sure I pull it up and I want to make sure I read it correctly. It's it was this morning. Tonight, the NBA will play its 172nd game since July, and there have been no positive tests. Meanwhile, the NFL is unfortunately continuing to postpone games. If you need proof, masks, testing, and distancing work to prevent the spread of coronavirus, look no further than the NBA bubble. Period.
The NBA just had the advantage of less guys on the roster, easier to put people into a bubble. There's no way you can put football players in a bubble when they only play one game a week and they're sitting around. It's just impossible. Baseball, maybe you could have done baseball if you'd have picked out a couple warm weather sites and figured out how to put the 25-man rosters in a bubble. I think you could have done that, but because baseball had to play their entire regular season and then their postseason, and it seems like baseball has survived for the most part.
Yep.
They haven't missed out. None of their big major players have missed out. They haven't done anything. In a way, this baseball postseason, not that I've been paying super close attention, but in a way, the short series are kind of fun. It makes it more pressure-packed. So I think baseball has pulled it off to whatever degree of success baseball can have at this point. And football, yeah, they're struggling, but games were played today. I think games are going to continue to be played. And I think the difference with football, too, is that you can – those guys are so eminently replaceable, and it sounds bad to say, but it doesn't matter if somebody's outside linebacker goes down. There's just another guy waiting to take his place. And so it's not like the NBA where if you were to lose – even if in the football, even if you lose superstars, it still doesn't mean anything. You're still – people are rooting much more for the uniform than they are for individual players, whereas in the NBA, you're much more focused on rooting for – players, especially nowadays, like young people, I think they're rooting more for the individual player than they are even for teams.
Yeah. I listen, NFL is going to be in a heap of mess here in like 3 weeks. I'm going to put that prediction down right now. I'm just leaving it there. Three weeks from now, Mike, I think it's going to be ugly.
We'll see. And it could be. Who knows? Yep.
But so, all right. We'll be back Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to discussing the bubble and what we think from it. You know, maybe we'll have to come up with some categories. Best moment in the bubble, best thing we saw from the bubble that wasn't basketball related. That might be a topic for you, Mike. So,
All right, we're putting our crack research staff on that. That's you. Let's come up with those topics. So, good work.
Yeah, I'll ask
you to come in with a lot of good stuff.
Maybe I'll ask some people what's some good topics for us to talk about, and we'll go from there. So
nice, sounds like a plan. All right, thanks to everybody for checking out our Game 6 NBA Finals recap. Congratulations to LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers on World Championship number 17. Congratulations to the NBA on making it all the way through the bubble with no positive tests and a legitimate champion. Thanks to you for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
If you have an existing podcast or are looking to launch your own pod but aren't sure where to start, the team at My Podcast Manager can help. Our podcast team works behind the scenes so you can do what you do best. We'll help you launch your podcast, make it sound great, and free up your time for the more enjoyable parts of podcasting. If you're ready to put your podcast editing, production, and promotion on autopilot with a trusted team of podcasting professionals, visit mypodcastmanager.com to get started.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.